Now she has to go back to the end of the line and start all over again. Don't blow your horn at old people. We've been around too long. Now, if I could guess, each one of us loves a story like that because we think you get what you deserve. She had it coming, right? And yet, isn't Christmas about getting what we don't deserve? The angel said to Joseph, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." None of us, nobody deserves to be forgiven for their sins. It is a gift. It is a free gift of grace that comes from the Lord, and we are thankful for that. The night that Jesus was born, there were visitors, and Luke 2 tells us that while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, in a feeding trough. Very soon after this, the shepherds were watching their flock by night when an angel of the Lord appeared, saying, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The shepherds hurried, and they found the baby lying in a manger, just like the angel had told them. And there they celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. They were the first visitors. Sometime later, we're told in the book of Matthew that other visitors came to find this child. If you have a Bible, open up to Matthew 1 with me. I'm sorry, Matthew 2, verse 1. Matthew 2, verse 1 says these words, "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Magi, we really don't know a whole lot about them. We often call them wise men, I think appropriately so. But there's a lot of questions that we have about the Magi and everything surrounding them. The message that we just heard from the choir, it was called "The Star Still Shines." And you see, the Magi followed the light of that star, and eventually they found Jesus. But it's interesting, when they arrived and asked this question, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews?" Nobody in Jerusalem had any idea what they were talking about. In fact, Herod the king was greatly disturbed. Eventually, they were sent on to Bethlehem. It's funny to consider that star for just a second. Have you ever asked questions about what is it? A lot of different speculations. Some people think that it was actually the planet Jupiter shining bright in the sky. Some people think it was Jupiter and then Saturn coming along, and they come together, and it kind of looks like one star sometimes in the night. And in fact, maybe we remember back in 2020, they called it the Christmas star, and it shone again when Jupiter and Saturn crossed in front of each other. It looked like one bright star. Others think it's something else, maybe an astronomical anomaly, like a comet or something like that. I think those are good suggestions, but I have to wonder if it was something like that. How did it lead them to Israel? And then when they saw the star again, how did it lead them to the home where the child was at? Others suggest maybe it was an angel. Some suggest it was like the Shekinah glory. Remember the glory that Israel followed, the light by day when they left Egypt. Then they crossed the Red Sea. Whatever it was, I don't know. And the Bible really does not tell us. All that it tells us is that they followed what they saw and appeared to them like a star. After they left Jerusalem, they went to Bethlehem. And down in verses 9 through 11, it says these words. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went on ahead of them until it came to a stop over the place where the child was to be found. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after they came into the house, again, it's a house, not a manger, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they fell down and they worshiped him, and they opened their treasures and presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Again, we really don't know a whole lot about these details. I've probably got about 50 more questions concerning who these people were. For instance, where were they from? The Bible really doesn't tell us. We've got some good guesses. It says they saw the star in the east. So they came from the east somewhere. They followed the star, but we don't really know where. The text doesn't tell us. How many were there? We don't know. There's at least two, because it's plural. Magi. Were there three? Well, they brought three gifts. That's why we usually associate three. But we're not told. Maybe there were 50. Maybe there were 100. We're simply not told. But what we are told is quite profound. You see, these men, these wise men, came to worship the one who had been born king of the Jews. These Gentiles, they came and they followed the light and they worshiped Jesus. And that is something profound. These Gentile people. I'd like to stick with the theme of this light for just a moment and turn over in your Bible now to Matthew 4, 16. We had this referenced, I think Ariel referenced this verse for us. But Matthew 4, 16 says this, "The people who were sitting in darkness saw great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned." As much as we don't know about some of these details concerning the manger and everything, we do know exactly what this is. The light that dawned was Jesus Christ and the ministry that he had to the people, not just in Israel, but around the world, the people to you and to me. And I'll tell you what, the light of Jesus Christ, it still shines brightly for all of us to come to follow and to believe, to receive the free gift of salvation that Jesus Christ so willingly paid for. A little bit later on, Jesus said in John 8, 12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We heard from the musical just a few moments ago, the hope promised shines through history, and today the star still shines for all who seek Jesus. The question is, do you seek Jesus? Do you seek him? Maybe we could even ask the question, how do we seek Jesus? And I'd like to give you four truths, four, maybe we'll call them spiritual laws. And they come in these questions, and you don't even need to go visit a manger. You don't need to bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. By the way, we don't even know how much gold, frankincense, or myrrh they brought. Just a funny thought. I know, I'm weird. I think weird things, don't I? But these four truths, and we'll present them with questions. One, who is God? If I just asked you that question, who is God? How would you respond? Who is God? Or maybe as Tozer asks, what is God like? The answer to that question probably tells us more about ourselves than anything else. Well, the Bible tells us that God is the creator of all things, the creator of you. He knows you, he cares about you, and he loves you. The Bible tells us that God is holy, that he is separated from sin, and that he cannot allow sin to enter into his presence. The Bible tells us that God is just, and he will judge sinners because of their sin. So who is God? Well, God is the creator, God is holy, and God is just. Number two, who is man? Well, mankind has been created in the image of God. We represent God with who we are, and we have a great responsibility while upon this earth. And unfortunately, as image bearers, we have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 tells us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. A little bit later, it says that the wages of sin is death. And this morning, if you are drained by the weight of your own sin, then I call upon you to come to this child who was laid in a manger, confess your sin to him. The third one, who is Christ and what has he done? This is where Christmas comes into play, because God chose to become a man, a human being. Some 2,000 years ago, he was born on the earth just like you and just like me. He experienced everything that you and I have experienced, the heartache, the trouble, the pain, and even death. His name is Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace, Jesus. John calls him the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Son of God is it's a title, and it means equality. With God. Jesus is God. And the scripture is so clear concerning this truth. He lived perfectly, some 33 years or so. And then he went to the cross and he took the punishment for your sins. He died. Again, the wages of sin is death. And Christ took upon himself your sins. Romans says it this way, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Or as Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Iniquity, that's not a word we use anymore, is it? It's an important word. It conveys the idea of crookedness. Somebody who's going along their way, their paths of life, and they've strayed to the left or to the right, one way or the other. They're crooked. We might say when somebody is caught in a crime, they're a crook. I'm not a crook. Well, all of our ways are crooked. We might use the word guilty to convey our crooked ways. But again, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Who is Jesus? He is God. And what did he do? He took the price for your sin. Who is God? Well, he's the creator. He's holy. He's just. Who is man? He is made in the image of God, but he is guilty of sin. Who is Christ and what has he done? The Son of God. And he paid the price for your sins, purchasing freedom for your soul. But what is man's response then? That's the fourth question. What is man's response? In Acts 16, there was a Philippian jailer. He was in jail. Paul and Silas, they were in jail. It tells us that they were singing songs. I think we can understand that at least part of what they were doing is they were proclaiming the gospel message of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done. And the text tells us that there was an earthquake. During the earthquake, the doors to the jail cell opened up, and the jailer was ready to take his life, for he knew that this was going to happen to him if he allowed anybody to be gone. And, well, we can just assume all the prisoners escaped and they were free, right? And just as he drew his sword to take his own life, Paul says, no, 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 don't do that. We're still here. And he brought a light in And he asks this question, what shall I do to be saved? Paul and Silas, they responded with these words, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You see, God's free gift of salvation comes by grace through the means of faith. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Believe what? Believe what about Jesus? That he is? Well, yeah, that's part of it. But Romans 10:9 helps us to answer that question. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, if you confess Jesus is Lord, then you will seek him with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. You'll seek to live in obedience to what he has called and commanded you to do. We call that, or the Bible calls that, repentance. Repentance. It is the evidence of our own faith. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, then let me call upon you to confess your sin and receive the forgiveness that Jesus so freely offers. And if you believe, you will be saved from the penalty of your sin. And that is the gift of Christmas that nobody deserves. The gift that Jesus Christ so freely offers you today. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And my question is, do you have the light of life? If you don't have it, then you can have it today. Again, will you confess your sin? Will you believe that Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead? Let's pray. And as everybody here closes your eyes and bows your head, just consider this for a moment. Do you know Jesus? Have you confessed him as your Lord and Savior? Have you said, Lord, I believe that you died for my sins and rose from the dead? And will you right now confess your sin to him and ask for forgiveness? Oh, if you've never had that forgiveness, today you can have it and release the burden of your sin from your life. For Christ has freely offered to pay the price of your salvation. And I'll tell you, you can pray right now and ask for that forgiveness. And the promise has been given. You will have it. The light of life. Father, we thank you for meeting us here today. Lord, thank you for the message the choir proclaimed. And Lord, we just echo that message that the light still shines. And Lord, we seek that light. We seek Jesus Christ. And Lord, for anybody confessing their sin to you right now for the first time, we celebrate knowing that the gift is perfect, forgiving us of sin. And so, Lord, do a great, a mighty, and a miraculous work in the hearts and lives of each person here. For those who maybe just confessed that sin to you for the first time, or others who have maybe been pretending for a long time. Or for others who've been walking with you for years but struggling today right now, Father, I pray that we would see the light shining brightly. Lord, give us eyes to see within our hearts and believe. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ. And as we celebrate the coming of God with us, Emmanuel, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the free gift that you've given to us. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think the most fitting way is the way that we've ended each inch Christmas, at least since I've been here. I'd like to have you stand up. We don't have the words up on the screen. And I think we did this last week even. But let's sing those words of the song, Joy to the World. Just the first verse. Please sing with me.